I know what you're thinking. You're already talking about Pesach, Shlomo. But the truth is that do we have a choice? Our sages tell us that 30 days before every holiday, Shualim bedorshim b'chag, you're supposed to be learning the laws and the customs of every holiday at least 30 days before, so you don't just, you know, show up just like that, right? Well, 30 days before Purim is Tu Bishvat, and 30 days from Purim to Pesach is Pesach, 30 days after. But I think had God had infinite compassion on us that he had Purim a month before Pesach, because if we had more than a month before Pesach, we would have to cram every single day to learn more and more and more, because when it comes to the laws of Pesach and the Davar Sof, it's really a Ma'ayan HaMitgaber. It's this reservoir of depth of Torah, of knowledge, that never ends. So God says, okay, you did what you did through Purim, and now you got, especially for Yerushalayim this year, you got about 28 days to get your acts together for Pesach. Well, it's not such a simple avodah. So I want to really share, it's really one idea developed into just three paths to get there, but I hope to be as concise, as clear as possible tonight. Because what else do we need? We don't need more bilbulim. Trying to get as clear as possible. So there's a great thought in the world of Breslov where they say that 30 days before Purim, you should walk around saying, Hatzileni na miklipat aman amalek. I shall be saved. Please God, save me from being influenced by that negative energetic source, energetic koach called Haman, Haman, and Amalek. That is the voice of evil, really the voice of doubt, the voice of second guessing every step of my life. May I be saved of it. And if you daven strong enough, the tradition was in Breslov that you could actually see Mordechai HaYehudi standing there when you're reading the Megillah. So I guess I didn't daven strong enough because I didn't see Mordechai. I think I saw Zeresh for a certain second, that's Haman's wife. I'm sure you all saw Mordechai HaYehudi. But I'm okay because there's another saying, and that's what we're going to be focusing on right now. The saying that says that for 30 days before Pesach, part of the preparation in understanding how to keep yourself kosher from chametz is praying over it. Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World, please, I'm davening, save me from falling under the avera of having chametz in my possession, or God forbid, consuming chametz. So, let's try to understand what that means. And it's all based on a sentence from the Arizal. The holy Kabbalistic leader, the Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, was known to say that if a person does not fall when it comes to chametz all of Pesach, he has a clean, clean, clean Pesach, that means that the rest of the year he will have a clean, clean, clean relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. It's an amazing concept. So if that's the case, if the rest of my year is dependent on making sure that my Pesach is chametz free, what else do I have to do aside from making sure that the Pesach program that I may be going to is very makbid? Or what else lemaisa do I have to do to make sure that I'm going to have a clean Pesach, whatever that, we have to figure out what this means. Because if what the Arizal is saying, you're going to have a completely, completely clean, 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 clean a Pesach, you'll have a clean year, it's got to mean more than just making sure that I scrub and I clean the way I'm supposed to. So let's go shlav by shlav right now. So we want to make sure that we're preparing properly for Pesach. Well, when it comes to cleaning for Pesach, there's a famous teaching from Rav Kook that Rav Shlomo used to mention all the time that I want to mention right now as well. And Rav Kook says that when it comes to cleaning up people's acts, every country is always so into every other country's cleaning up of an act. Russia wants to clean up China. China wants to clean up Japan. Japan wants to clean up America. America wants to clean up Europe. Everyone's trying to do bdikas chametz in other people's domains. The secret of us Jewish people is that we're not under the impression that we're supposed to clean up any other people's acts other than our own. And the more I'm involved in making sure I'm trying to make a mensch out of the world, I'm completely neglecting my shalom bayis. And I have to be very, very careful to make sure that as much as I would love to be the greatest marriage counselor in the world, if my own marriage at home is crumbling and rotting, maybe I could possibly give the greatest etzot, the greatest piece of advice. However, that's not going to come close to what needs to be heard. So right now we're only focusing, and I want to preface by saying, if God forbid I sound like I'm telling someone else what to do, then I completely missed the point or it didn't come across properly. I'm simply really speaking to myself and everyone's invited to listen. But I do believe very strongly in the power of these teachings from Rav Kook and in the power of what we said from the Arizal. So there was a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, and his name was Reb Moshe Chaim, Moshe Chaim Ephraim, I believe, the Degel Machane Ephraim of Sedlakover. He was Rabbi Nachman Breslover's uncle. And he said a great Torah like this. Listen to this. There are two main Jewish New Years. That's in Nisan, when we have Pesach, and Tishrei, right? When we have Rosh Hashanah. The preparation for Nisan, for Pesach, is gathering together, you know, wonderful delicacies and food and preparations for a festive meal. And the preparation for Rosh Hashanah is a month of very sincere repentance, very precious moments of being very much heartbroken in a good way and trying to really connect to the source of what we're supposed to be doing in this world. So the Baruch of Medjib, this is a teaching from his brother, the Baruch of Medjibush. Sorry about that. The Baruch of Medjibush says that in essence, if people would twist around the hachanot, and if what they did during Elul, they would do during the month before Pesach, after Purim, then when Tishrei comes, all you'd have to be worried about is preparing the greatest delicacies the whole month of Elul to make sure you have the greatest festive, the feast, Rosh Hashanah night, which would mean that right now we would dig so deep into our hearts and souls and try to take advantage of the light of the candle, bodkim le'or haner. We would take advantage of the light which you and I received over this last Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. And from there, we would have enough guts to go and search, like the Gemara tells us, bachorim u'bazdakim. We would go and search for chametz in all of the cracks and holes and corners of our house, of our heart, of our soul. In other words, it's a very, very frightening thing to have enough guts to look at our demons, to take a look at those things which we know we tend to ignore. But we must believe, and Dafka, I'm saying this on Motzei Purim, we must believe that Or Chadash Al Tzion He'ir, there's a new light that came down on Zion through the holiness of the holiday of Purim. And with that Kedusha, with that holiness, that light, now we don't have to be too scared to go and do some very serious root work and clean out the chametz. Because essentially that's what we really do in Tishrei, you know? What are we doing? What are we doing in Elul, excuse me? What are we doing if not bdikas chametz, right? It's just a game. Some people save their whole year saying, whatever, I'll do whatever I want. Don't worry. Slichas, end of Elul. I have that time that's designated for cleaning up my act. But if I'm in tune with the Pnimius HaTorah, then I'm in tune with the fact that when I said LeYehudim Haita Ora V'Simcha V'Sasun B'Ikar, when I read the Megillah, then I know that I have enough light in my life to battle out against darkness which I may find. Could be. And if I work hard on it, and if I'm persistent, And if I don't give up, and if I'm consistent every day between Purim and Pesach to take that candle, Lehudim Haita Ora, to take that candle of light that I got from the story of the Megillah, I can go into any place, like we said before, that I'm generally very nervous of, clean out what needs to be cleaned out, so that when Pesach comes, I can have literally a chametz-free Pesach. Now, we all know that according to Kabbalistic and Hasidic text, whenever we speak about chametz, we're always speaking about the ego. We're speaking about something that's blown up. We're speaking about something that in essence is not really real. It's the tikkun of the yesh. It's the tikkun of the I in a negative way. How do we approach this battle? So many of you have heard this before, but our second daughter, her name is Ora. Her birthday is this Thursday. She's going to be 10 years old. She's a precious fireball jinjit. She's really something else. And she gives us so much nachas, and I pray we give her too. So Ora, it's very interesting. I wanted to always name one of the kids something to do with light. But right before she was born, I heard the following teaching in the name of the Sfat Emet, the second Ger Rebbe. And it's a teaching we learn every year, and I find it to be just so right on. The Sfat Emet says that when the Megillah, it says, La'yudim hayta ora v'simcha v'sason b'ikar, the Gemara teaches us, what does it mean that the Jews had light? Ora zu Torah. It says that the Jews finally had the Torah as a result of the story of Purim. We reenacted the acceptance of the Torah. This time it was out of love during the time of the story of Esther. And that's what it means that the Jews finally had light. They had Torah in their life. It's part of the vat. Such a deep thing. Every time I'll call out my daughter's name for the rest of her life, hopefully I'll have the kavana of the Sfat Emet, and I'll be referencing to the Torah to keep on coming. You know, good night, Ora. Like, good night, Torah. Good Shabbos, Ora. Good Shabbos, Torah. That's what I thought would be. But then he continues and he asks a very deep question. And he says like this, why are we saying that we only receive the Torah in the time of Purim? It's not true. Hadar Kibla, we re-received the Torah in the story of Purim. But let's face it, there was a thing called Mount Sinai. That took place before the receiving of the Torah of Shushan. So what was it exactly? What did I receive in the story of Esther? So listen to this fantastic Torah from the Sfat Emet. He says that up until the story of Esther Amalka, up until the story of Purim, up until the story of what we just went through right now, we had the Torah. But you know what the problem was? The Torah wasn't Ora. The Torah wasn't light. It was heavy. For some people, it was Choshech. Because they thought that if they can't keep this book of laws, then they're destined for darkness. And it just felt like a very heavy, heavy load on their back. Something happened within the context of the story of Esther Amalka and Mordechai that the Torah became Ora. Up until the story of Purim, when I read a letter from God, I didn't hear any love. I just heard do this and don't do this. Somehow I went back to the same letters that God sent me, and this time I'm reading love letters. Ora zu Torah. The Torah became something that's full of light, and not just something that's heavy that weighs over me. So when I open up a sefer, when I open up a book of Torah, when I come to a shir, when I speak a conversation that speaks about something that has to do with learning, there's something in the air after Purim as we get ready for Pesach, where every time I learn, I feel like I'm bringing more and more light in the world. I have to just give this plug because it's just where I'm at right now, and I can't pretend that I'm not here. But our shul, thank God, is the last hour of a cause match campaign for the building of our shul. We've had an incredible, incredible week. And we have over 1,600 partners from all over the world. that have donated and wanted to be part of the simcha. That to me is much more impressive than the number which we reached, which we raised. It's over 1,600 shutafim, partners. And I didn't really understand how these things work before we set out on this campaign, but the person that was running it explained to me what a cause match campaign is, that every time you donate a dollar, it's matched by a pre-donation which was set aside for these things. So every time you do a mitzvah, you're basically getting it doubled. So in this context, I'm feeling very connected to this inyan that before the story of Purim, whenever I sat down and I learned, I opened up a book, I never didn't really feel like it was ora. I felt like it was kaved, I felt like it was heavy. But when I go through the simcha of mitzvah sachag, of mitzvah Purim, I come out on the other side. And now every time I learn, I feel like there's two entities learning, me and the master of the world, we're learning together. When I make the Ribbono Shel Olam my partner, or like my friend David Sachs in Los Angeles says, when I am destined, when I am basically committed to figuring out how to make God my best friend, then somehow every single time I want to hear what God has to say, it's a best friend telling me the greatest advice in the world. And then when my best friend tells me the greatest advice in the world, I take their words. And what do? I go and try to get my act together, but this time I do it with a smile. So go back to Reb Baruch of Medjugorje, who said like this, if people would do what they're supposed to do in Nisan, what they usually do in Elul, if they did it now, the month before Pesach, and they would do the B'dikas Chametz every single night through learning, through Simchas HaTorah, through excitement, through preparation like this, then Pesach will be Pesach. Pesach will be a really clean from Chametz Pesach. And the rest of the year will be naki, will be clean. And then when Elul comes, Elul will be just cleaning up and preparing barburim slavi dagim. I'm preparing barbecues. I'm preparing sheep. I'm preparing meat. Or my friends from the Moshav, many of you, I'm preparing the holiest tofu I ever thought I could ever eat in my life. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. And that's like a v'nahafochu way of thinking, of looking at things in the world, but that truly is the way that we're seeing tonight, the hachana, the proper hachana towards marching towards a clean Pesach. You know, we always say you should have a chag kosher v'sameach. You should have a kosher holiday. Everyone should have a kosher holiday. And it doesn't just mean you should eat kosher l'Pesach food, but it means on the pinius of pinius is that you should taste this concept of ein od milvado, that it's your best friend that's running the whole show, and that you are only something because you know that you're nothing. The way to get to that place, to knowing that I'm something only because I know that I'm nothing, is the plowing through the 30 days between Purim and Pesach. Sometimes I think that, you know, when it comes to showing God that we really are doing a heavy job, a serious job, then this is what I must look like. Like I have to show God this face, okay, if I want to show him that I'm serious. Can you imagine if you went out to recruit seniors in a high school in the States, and you wanted to recruit them to come to your yeshiva, and you wanted the parents to spend, I don't know what the tuition is now, I don't know, 18 grand, 22 grand, and you showed up to recruit for your yeshiva, and you spoke about how serious the yeshiva is about Avodat Hashem, but you showed up looking like this the whole time, I guarantee you, you'd probably have no one. Somehow, if you show you're serious like this, we under the impression that's what serious means. But there is a seriousness within the chiyuch, within the smile, where you're not, God forbid, making fun of something. But sometimes when you realize that everything is taken care of, you can't help but smile. The result of the holiday of Purim is that every Ribbono Shel Olam, God is running the world. And he's giving me a chance to take the light of the knowledge that he is running the world. And I have enough self-confidence to go and lechapes, Bachorim u'bazdakim. I have enough strength to go and search where I need to stretch, search. Why? Because now the Torah is aura for me. Now the Torah that I learn is filled with light. That's what I got from Purim. Now I can go and do whatever I need to do. Now, every time I'm learning, it's mamash b'shem kol Yisrael. Now every time I'm singing to God, I'm not singing alone. I could actually hear harmony, even if no one is around me. I could actually hear harmony. Now the intro, I'm just one last thing that I want to share before we sing a bit more. The Torah has many different names for the night of that awesome night where we first begin to be clean from chametz. There's many different names. There's Chag HaMatzot, there's Chag HaPesach. It's a beautiful Torah from the Berditchever. What's the difference between the two? Why is it called sometimes Chag HaMatzot? Why is it called Chag HaPesach? In any event, I wanted to share with you one beautiful, beautiful Torah. One of the names of Leil Pesach, it's called Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim, the night of Lishmor, of guarding, of watching. And according to our mystical tradition, basically the master of the world is giving us back all the things that we thought we had lost on Leil Seder. God was showing us, he was watching them the whole time, even though it seemed that it was lost, he was watching it the whole time. And on Seder night, we're getting back basically to all the holy moments we ever had in our lives. And all the tefillahs, all the great prayers we had, all those moments we thought we had lost, all the moments we thought we reached very high, but it didn't get anywhere. God shows us on Leil Seder, it's Leil Shimurim. I've been guarding them. I've been watching them for you. I've been watching them for you. It didn't go anywhere. So what we learn is that, you know, sometimes when we zorad stakot, when we put little seeds in the soil, obviously, from the outside, it looks like it's lost. You look at it for a few days and nothing's really happening. But if you could possibly see, and even if you could possibly see right through the soil, you would see actually it's completely disintegrating. And you'd probably come to the conclusion that you just wasted your time, right? But hold on one second. Beyond that vision, beyond that sight, there is a tree growing. Now, since according to us, the physical and the spiritual are always in divine, they're always aligned with each other. So Pesach happens to be the time, this tkufa of being clean from chametz. Pesach is the time when God is showing us that he was guarding that little seed, he was protecting it the whole time. And even when the seed was disintegrating, it was God who was watching it even more. So I want to say like this. We already know that in 30, 28 days, we're going to experience a Leil Shimurim. Plant the seed. Go for it. That one thing that you always refrain from doing because you weren't sure that you're ready to do, or that you didn't really know how to do that well, or that you weren't sure you believed actually was worth doing. That sefer, that chavruta, that one mitzvah, whatever that is, we know that in 28 days from now, God will show us, I was watching it the whole time. I was guarding it for you. I was waiting for you to be completely chametz free in order to taste, to reap the beautiful ramifications of what it means that you planted a seed. This is the time to plant the seed. This is mamash it right now, where whether we understand it or not, we went through a mikveh of Purim. This is the time to take on something for the next month. And this is how we begin to march towards that night of eternal freedom. If I would have to describe one Shem Torah, one way of describing what I really did, really learned from Marty, is that he took on things. He was alive. He was mamash alive. There are many people that at a certain point, they just keep on being alive just to the extent of the fact that they're breathing. But then there are people that doesn't matter what age they are, they're always taking on. They're moving forward. They're growing. They're looking to grow. I always felt that, you know, I unfortunately, I didn't have as much time as I would have liked to have with him. But Baruch Hashem, we shared a very special bond. And I saw this concept of wanting to grow, regardless of how what the calendar, what the date book says about age. To me, that's one of the greatest things in the world, that if a person can be tuned into, they have everything in the world. You know, Baruch Hashem, my father, he should have arichut yamim, and he should feel strong and good, and all of our parents, b'chulei. You know, my dad is 72. My Abba acts, and I'm saying this in a very holy way, my father acts sometimes like a 24-year-old that gets excited over learning, the thought of learning a new profession, the thought of dabbling into something new. That's chiyut, that's what being alive is. At a certain age, sometimes we say, I don't have enough time to plant seeds. I don't have enough time to plant seeds. Shtuyot. Ora zutora, you have the Torah of Purim with you. Plant a seed. Get rid of some schmutz. Do it besimcha. Do it besimcha. Do it like someone that's not so nervous about the clock. Don't do it like someone who thinks they have all the time in the world. But try to get out of that frame of time and just go for it and be alive and live it. We should be blessed, dearest friends, that for the next 28, that's already 28 days, as we get closer and closer to Leil Seder, we should be blessed to scream out from the deepest depths of our neshamas, Hatzileini na mi chametz, the Pesach, and not just I should make sure that I should clean well, and that I should make sure there's no chometz around. But now that I have enough light, and it's so exciting to feel like I'm nothing, and that's what makes me into something, this klipa of the chometz, of that which is blown up, should completely, completely just not be part of the way that we think and act in this world. The Chag of the Geula, the month of the Redemption, should come in and usher in such a new light. Whatever we thought we had on Purim, a million times more. March towards it besimcha. Do this cleaning, like Rav Kook says. Don't worry about somebody else. This is like not time for making sure everyone else is doing what they're supposed to be doing. We got to do what we have to do. And in the Schut of Mardi, in the Schut of Shmuel. Menschlichkeit and Simchas Achaim should prevail. I give us a bracha. I don't know what it means that we should all be tzaddikim. You know, around Tishrei. We say the altar. You should be tichose v'sechosem v'sifran shel tzaddik. Alavai. That's what I'm kind of nervous about on Tishrei. That now, between Purim and Pesach, what I'm concerned about, Ribbono Shel'Olam, make me into a mensch. You gave me enough light. Just make me into a mensch. I want to be a mensch. I want my children to see that their Abba is a mensch. If you give me that, you give me everything in the world. Ah, you want to be a mensch? That's what you want? Maybe you really are ready for the Geula. I think that tonight's light is preparing us for that. And I just want to say that what we're going to be marching towards Pesach now with this light in mind, as we learn. This is one of my, I can't even tell you how much I'm connected to the Sefer. This is the teachings of Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter. We've been learning him for many years now. And they just put out this last year, a whole Haggadah and mainly Shir HaShirim. A whole learning on Shir HaShirim, which is the Megillah of Pesach. And we're going to be learning Rashi and Be'iyun. We're going to be learning the Pnimius of Shir HaShirim as we prepare. If we have so much Ora Zutora, we have enough love and light in our lives to learn the Holiest Sefer. That the Holiest Sefer in the Tanakh. It's not my opinion. This is what Chazal say. So we're going to be spending a month preparing for this night of Chometz Freeness, because there's enough room for love. That's what Shir HaShirim is all about. So I'll be sending out the Chomer, and I'll be sending out exactly the times we're going to be learning it. That'll be for the rest of Adar Nisan. With you guys, Tehen Yishmasur Tzura B'Tzura Chaim.